Hey, what up, y'all? It's your girl, Flo, and you have just tuned in to another Flo Experience podcast session, and I am so thankful that you are here. I appreciate your love, your attention, your support. I couldn't do what I'm doing without you, and you guys are motivating me, and I'm glad to have the opportunity. Unfortunately, the time, because we didn't want our time in the way that we're getting it, but we got it. So I'm going to step my game up a little bit and be a little more consistent, hence why I'm here with you tonight. I was going to do this earlier, but like many of you across the United States, I was stuck on that songwriters competition that Swiss Beats and Timberland got going on IG. Baby, let me tell you something. Neo and what's the brother's name? Jonte. That was by far an excellent competition. I had no idea that that brother had written so many of the songs that I was listening to. I was kind of familiar with what Neo has done. He surprised me too. But again, that was truly nurturing to the culture. It's definitely something that we appreciate, people that are immersed in the culture, who love the music that we grew up on. And you guys know who I am and how I am, and that, you know, music speaks to my soul. So it was excellent, an excellent, excellent, excellent competition. And they definitely tied. Like, I can't pick one over the other, but Jonte is a beast. Let me just shout that brother out right now. I had no idea. So I thank y'all celebrities that are getting out here, doing the work to kind of curve the anxiety by bringing us into a different space, because we clearly need it. I definitely know I need it, speaking personally. Shout out to DJ D Nice. He was on again today. You know, we need to feel good. We need to be able to take that deep breath, and take the focus away from all the noise. But I would be remiss if I didn't give you all updates on Kirk and what's going on in Oakdale Federal Prison. Today, Kirk called me and he told me that, first of all, the cellmate that he had that was really, really sick finally asked for help, and they removed him out of the room that he and Kirk were sharing. So right now, Kirk is in that room by himself. He did say that he's able to go to, like, I guess somewhere that they have it set up where they can go and, like, check out cleaning supplies, like clean mops, cleaning sprays, or whatever they need to disinfect and clean their environment. So he was able to clean up a lot, and he said that they were pretty much practicing staying clean and away from each other as much as they can with what they could, and staying covered up. So I think that they were proactive in doing that. It's probably why Kirk doesn't feel sick. He doesn't have any symptoms. He mentioned that he had had some headaches, and maybe a cough here or there, but he feels okay. And so I'm so thankful to God, that he is all right. That's been my ultimate prayer and my ultimate goal. Initially, is just to make certain that he is safe and he is well. However, on the downside, there are still other people in the facility who are really, really, really sick. There have been confirmed cases of the COVID-19. I believe there's a total of 5 in that prison facility. There are over 900 inmates there, so that's not a whole lot. And one of the first ones to have been confirmed to have the virus was a brother that Kirk really knew, and I guess they really got along. And he learned today that that brother actually passed away. His name is Patrick Jones, 49 years old. And there is an article about him in the Wall Street Journal. And I posted it on my Instagram page, flow.exp. I think I posted it in my stories and not on my feed. So you might have to go into my stories and scroll about, and I'll pin it into my feed this evening too. And then also it's on MSNBC. I saw that on when I Googled it. It came up on those two news platforms. But he died as a result of the COVID-19 virus. Again, that gives us pause. It gives us heavy hearts. I'm just praying for those brothers. I'm praying that, you know, those that can be released will be released. I'm still fighting for Kirk to be able to come home sooner than later. He's really only 3 months away from getting home, but, you know, why not now? You know, that's my question that I'm proposing. I've reached out to our congressman in our district, Mr. Hank Johnson, via email. And I will be following up with a phone call tomorrow morning. That'll be the first phone call that I make once I get myself together. And I will just be reaching out to just be able to speak to someone. I've also emailed the Bureau of Prisons with a heartfelt concern about his overall exposure and the experiences that he's having, witnessing other people collapsing and passing out and being carried out on gurneys and, you know, the whole nine yard. I'm being proactive in using his voice in my communication to people that I feel may be able to make a difference. And I reached out to the Bureau of Prisons. They actually responded to me and just let me know that they have a protocol that they are using to evaluate individuals individually to decide who would qualify for early release. And that's all that they were able to actually tell me. And listen, you know, there's always a process. There's always the system. And there's always people who can only do as much as they can do. They can't really change you know, the process, but you can challenge the process. You can, express yourself. We have the freedom and the absolute right to do that. Silence is not an option. And I really do encourage everybody that is listening and that, support this podcast, reach out to your people, wherever they are. Particularly if they are healthcare workers, particularly if they have fallen sick, and also if they are in our prison system. Find out their well-being, and then in a manner in which you're comfortable and in a manner in which however you can do it, whatever you see in front of you that can be done, do it. I implore you to please do that. I believe that right now I'm able to hear his voice because I had a number of people petition the prison and ask, you know, what are they doing? And to let them know that he is somebody that we care about. So that said, that's my update. Just wanted to keep you all informed. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support. Thank you for just, you know, being solid and not judging us for our situation, because that's not helpful. And I'm just appreciative of that. You know, your vibes are everything. Sometimes people don't have to say a word and I will feel a vibe from miles away. I don't know how I can do it, but I can do it, which is why I know who to reach out to, who to talk to, because I won't go into a bad space of energy if I feel that it's a bad space of energy. If I necessarily don't have to, and I don't care who it comes from. Because again, it's not helpful to me. It's not helpful for my mind frame, you know, to focus on what needs to be done and to actually continue with tenacity in a forward manner. Because we have to think forward in every situation. We can't stay stuck where we are. That said, I'm going to lighten the conversation and switch gears a little bit, but in keeping with moving forward, my husband definitely has been reading. Hello. He's probably read more now than he's ever read. But he's reading this book that he encouraged me to get. He's very excited about this book. He's like way into the book, way further than I am. He's at like 190 something in the book or whatever. I'm at like probably page 43 or whatever. However, this book was worth purchasing. You can get it on Amazon, and you could probably find like videos about it on YouTube. I don't know. I went ahead and bought it because I do like to have a book in my hand. I'm all for the electronic experience, but you know, I'm an old school girl. If I'm going to read, I like a book. So I bought it and I found it used on Amazon for $5. And because I'm a Prime member, shipping was free. Anyway, the name of the book is called Making a Living. Sorry for my broken English. Making a Living Without a Job. Winning Ways for Creating Work That You Love by Barbara J. Winter. Sounds like, you know, one of those self-help books, probably on the surface. And, you know, you hear a lot of testimonials in books like this. And this is true for this book as well. But if you just keep reading it, there is so many golden nuggets and so many jewels that are in this book that I've gotten thus far. And I'm only at page, let's see. I'll tell you where I'm at. I've gotten it through page 43. And I think that this is, because there's homework in here. So it's not just reading. She actually encourages and provides space for you to answer questions about yourself. And for you to write things down that pertain to who you are so that you can figure out what it is you want to do. This is chapter 3, by the way, that I'm in. And it's called Doing First Things First. That's the name of the chapter. And so just reading through it, she talks about certain things that pertain to her journey and how she got to where she is and what she had to do to get there. And, you know, she's titled certain paragraphs or certain portions of the chapter to give it a focus. And so one of the chapters is named or labeled Repairing the Damage. And she starts with that to kind of rearrange your focus. I think we all kind of want to be able to be as independent as possible and financially stable as possible. We all probably have that desire. I'm not sure that I've ever talked to anyone that doesn't. But what I do know that even with the people that I've talked to that have that desire, don't know what the hell to do with what they have or with what they feel. You know, they're spinning their wheels primarily because we've been taught to have a certain mentality, right? So you can have all the desire you want, but desire is not the actual action. All of that is just an idea. It's just sitting there. It's a thought. It is a want, but you have to do the work. And in order to be able to do that work, there are certain things that you need to do for yourself. You have to self-repair in order to have the drive and the know-how to take the first few steps. And so in this chapter, one of the sections labeled Repairing the Damage focuses on self-esteem. And I thought, wow, you know, perhaps that has everything to do. And I ain't even gotten into the book, but the third chapter, she's already like swinging. Okay. This is a left hook, but I thought that has a lot to do with our choices and the decisions that we make to kind of put us in a forward thought process and then take that thought process and put it in motion. Everybody doesn't have that get up and, you know, I can do it. I'm just going, you know, we all have it. I'm not going to say we don't have it. We all have it. But everybody is not molded the same. Sometimes you just need to be clued in on certain things that will help you to understand who you exactly are. And so this book kind of guides you into doing that. And so one of the things that caught my attention is I'm just going to read some excerpts out of here because I feel like it doesn't do me any good to explain it except to give it to you word for word. So one of the things that she says is a large part of the task of achieving healthy self-esteem lies simply in getting to knowing yourself better, discovering the ideas and things that are important to you, and knowing why they matter. Some of the ideas you have about yourself and the world come from your past. Think about some of the influences in your life. And so if you really consider why you are the way you are, where you are, a lot of that came from where you came from. And that makes sense to me. And she asked these questions. What was the attitude and tone of the community where you grew up? What was most valued there? What prejudices were in evidence? How did you feel about families with more money than yours or with less? What did you think about your parents' occupation? How did that influence your own career choices? What messages about you, about your value and worth, did you get at home or in school? What part did religion play in your life? If you grew up in a religion, did it foster or inhibit self-esteem? How quickly can you list 5 good things about yourself? How quickly can you list 5 shortcomings that you have? How do the thoughts you have about yourself manifest in your relationships with others? How much of what you think and do is determined by what others expect of you? And, you know, that doesn't sound like anything that has to do with becoming an entrepreneur on the surface. Oh, but it does. If you truly sit down and think about it, like the first couple lines, what was the attitude and tone of the community where you grew up? What was most valued there? What prejudices were in evidence? I mean, they say, there is a saying that says you are where you come from. I will always be a Naptown native, period. I will always be, in a way, that round-the-way girl from the west side that's cool with brothers. I will always be that girl that I'm not type A. I don't look at things with an instruction manual. I can't do it. My mind don't operate like that. But I am someone who grew out of my environment and needed to leave. But that still had a heavy impression on my thought process and my planning and my goal setting. Where I came from definitely influenced those things. I wasn't around all bad people. I had really good people around me. But I also had not so good people around me. I had people around me that would speak negatively into themselves and to each other as a pastime, okay? And they would, you know, consider it, you know, terms of endearment and expect you to just have thick skin and roll with it because that was what was expected. That's how we were taught. You had to do that. So there was no true motivation to be more than where you were. There were conversations, you know. I think people expected me to be more, but all I wanted to do was be me. And so with some of those expectations of myself by people that I love the most, I feel that I allowed that to influence me to not be my full self, which is my self-esteem. Has everything to do with my level of self-esteem or where it was. So this makes so much sense, right? All right. And then she asked a bunch of other questions. I'm not going to read everything, but it gives you some homework. I had to write down some I am and I cans and I wills. And then there's a whole nother page where, you know, she's asking you to write down things like, I feel terrific when, and then you finish it. Or I know I have the talent to be, and then you finish it. You know, and I'm telling you, it's a page and a half on just that. And then it moves on where it talks about to the bottom and back again. So again, this is getting back into her personal journey into becoming an entrepreneur, a successful entrepreneur, and her ups and downs and the things that she had to do to get there. But one of the things that she did was she focused on recovering her self-esteem, which I thought was, you know, brilliant, because now that you know that that's a problem, you got to do the work, right? And one of the, on page 41, I took the moment to underline that she stated that during the first year, I kept actively looking for ways to add to my own personal growth. I began by making a list of everything I could think of that might make a positive contribution. And that list included, number one, being gentle and non-critical with myself. Stopping myself when I note a temptation to berate myself. Giving myself credit for the things I do get done, being patient about the things I haven't yet accomplished, giving myself experiences that are pleasurable, such as dining out, going to a theater, visiting museums, attending concerts, spending time with people who are healthy and treat me well, slowing down and living each day as well as I can, not trying to solve all my problems at once. Being willing to accept compliments and gifts from others, reading books and listening to tapes that feed positive thoughts, laughing as often as possible, spending time with my daughter, exploring new places, doing daily affirmations to enhance my self-image. And this brings me to a thought, because my son walked up to me and I was washing dishes, so it completely caught me off guard. And my 12-year-old, I love my children, because let me tell you, if you really need to have things make sense, listen to your children. So my son comes up and he says, Mom, name five things that are beautiful. So I started naming stuff. You know, I said, well, my kids, Mother Earth, you know, I'm really like thinking of stuff. I'm like, you know, this or that. Now I can't remember everything that I said. And then when I was done, he said, why didn't you say yourself? And you know, I don't know. I did not have an answer for that. I don't know if it was because I do have low self-esteem that I didn't put myself first, but just in that moment to just think quickly on your feet, or to be asked a question and begin to answer without giving it thought, I didn't say myself. And why wouldn't I? But that's part of developing the strength and the courage that you need to be able to step away from your situation and go do something that you've never done before. Be able to take that leap of faith. Be able to jump. It starts with your self-esteem. And then the book also says, as you can see, the list was action oriented. I posted it on my bathroom mirror and kept looking for ways to incorporate these ideas. So those are some things that you can do that I know people that do it all the time. I used to work with people that would post things in their cubicle to remind them of certain things. And sometimes it was self-affirmation, or sometimes it was a scripture, or sometimes, you know, it was just a quote, whatever they needed to remind themselves that they were not their situation. I think that's important. And I'm going to start doing that for my children, because they're starting to develop into that middle school age, which all of us know is the weirdest part of your life. You're starting to develop. Your body is changing. You're going through all of these emotional roller coasters. You don't understand, you know, why, like my daughter right now, I'm just trying to keep her from being negative about things. She's a very passionate person. She wants to excel, but she's hard on herself. And there are a lot of things that I'm going to have to love her through. I can't force her out of it. She's got to go through it, but I've got to love her through it. And I've got to, you know, speak affirmation as often as I can. I've got to not lose my patience with her. I can't do those things, because this time in her life is critical. This is when she needs me more than ever. And so me being a young lady at her age, I understand how that feels, you know, to be going through all of those changes and not know what the hell is going on or why. Or I don't want to give her a blanket answer and say, oh, it's just because of puberty. Well, is it really? I mean, that's what we've been conditioned to explain, but nobody can give you a direct answer as to why your emotions are particularly set differently at that point in your life. You know, it maybe it's more than just puberty. Perhaps, you know, this is a part of your development into another chapter in your life. You know, this is part of your life's journey, and for you to be able to experience these emotions that you never experienced before, so that you have an opportunity to figure out how to navigate, you know, your future. Oh, I've already felt this. I know what this is. So when you see it coming, you can say, I know what this is. And I got a handle on it, because I was given the time to experience it. So we all have to give ourselves those affirmations, but affirmations of action and reminders also. I think that's important. And then there's another part of the book where she goes on and she says, it's called A Program of Your Own. And so the paragraph starts off by saying, building self-esteem is an ongoing process, like a strong body. Self-esteem requires tending and feeding if we are going to keep it healthy, so that we can live happily and successfully in an often threatening world, as I learned from many years in Boulder. She lived in Boulder, Colorado. And then it says, have you ever met anyone who with too much self-esteem? And then she answers the question and says, neither have I. But it gave me pause, because I feel like I know a lot of folks with way too much self-esteem. Or is that what that really is? You know, is it really low self-esteem, but they are masking who what's truly going on with this, with these big, bold egos? You know, I mean, that gives you a second to think about it, because her answer is she doesn't know anyone that way. Then she goes on to say, none of the people I know who exhibit healthy self-esteem leave their self-image to chance. And I thought, wow, because I'm going to flip back to watching The Battle of the Songwriters. Not today, but yesterday we had The Dream and we had Sean Garrett. And not digging in on the brother, I don't know his story. He's a hell of a songwriter. I had no idea that he wrote the hits that he's written. Not taking nothing away from him. But oh my gosh, his personality and ego, I'm gonna call it what it is because everybody saw it, is huge, you know. And I don't know that that's directly, you, I don't want to call that self-esteem. I think that it probably has gotten him as far as it's gotten him, whatever you want to call it. But that is definitely not the way someone with a healthy self-esteem would want to carry themselves, whether you got a hit record or not. Because I'm going to tell you, a lot of people were commenting, Neo commented earlier also that it was hard to enjoy his hits and his music because of the way he was carrying on. It was horrible. And then somebody, you know, chimed in and told Swizz Beatz, man, do this another time when this brother comes down, because it was clearly that, you know, he was on another cloud that he shouldn't have been on. You know, I'm from the streets. I know exactly what it was, but it's not for me to call him out about it. But there's an intervention that's probably necessary. Let's just put it like that. So when you think about things, think about what she's saying. You know, nobody with a really healthy self-esteem would damage their image in that way. There's no way. I don't care who you are and how successful you are. Something else is underlying under that. So I'm not going to call that self-esteem. That's something else. And then, you know, there's a couple of other points that I'll point out. She talks about create a new picture in which you formulate as much detail as possible what you want your life and yourself to exhibit. Begin with a broad idea and move in from there. I regularly review and answer these questions. And I love these questions because I have to... Some I've already asked myself, but I need to revisit these questions, because I always have said, sometimes you have to move up out of your space, your comfort space. Sometimes, maybe not for everybody, but for sure, the people who are the most successful, and you know, we could definitely, you know, consider that if you're from Indianapolis, you know, most of the successful people in our city have left and have gone on to do exceptional things. Not saying that we don't have exceptional people doing exceptional things at home. You know, that's not where my heart is, but I'm just giving you a for instance, because we've seen it and we know who these people are. Babyface, Mike Epps, Vivica Fox. If you want those bigger opportunities, sometimes if you need to, you got to get yourself up out of your space and take those leaps of faith. But one of the questions is, what kind of community do I want to live in? What kind of community will nurture me? What must this place include? A theater? Good educational facilities? A strong work ethic? An airport? Good weather? A low crime rate? Shopping malls? Bookstores, libraries, sports. For instance, I had always wanted to travel personally and professionally, and yet had never lived near a major airport. That became important in selecting a community. How do I see myself living within this space? Am I a community activist or just a resident, church member, local politician, an artist? What kind of people do I want to associate with? Are they likely to be found in a small town or a large city, or does that even matter? How will I relate to those people? What activities do I want to share with others? Where do I go to do that? Do I want to participate in a book discussion group? An entrepreneurs club? Do I want to go camping, swimming, attend a symphony? What kind of home will I live in? What things do I want in that home? Will I work in the place where I live? Will I be close to schools, shopping, theaters? Would I enjoy living in a rural setting or a driving lot? What kind of work will I do? Will it be alone with a regular team of people or with different groups? Will I work all year or part of it? And what am I wearing when I do this work? And then she puts in parentheses that question is more significant than you may think. And how do I see myself in 1 year, 5 years? Can I grow through my new plans? Will I be making changes? And again, that's just chapter 3. So you really, you know, based on her encouragement, need to dig deep if you truly want to be successful at what you're doing. And of course, it's one step at a time. And wherever you are in that process, keep going. But don't forget to do the self-work, the inward work, because that will personify your end result and all of those efforts that you're putting in to being independent. I truly believe that. And I just got that today. Because I just read this today. Straight up. So, you know, the more I go through this, the more I will share. I definitely want to continue this conversation. Please hit me up. Comment here on Anchor. Comment on my Instagram. That's always where I pretty much am, on Instagram. And that is at flo.exp. And just let me know what you think. Making a living without a job. I think that's a phenomenal topic, a phenomenal title, because that's pretty much what we all got to be focused on. Like, we are now forced into focusing on just that. Okay. We have no choice. But it's not such a bad thing. Now, is it? So in your meditation, in your prayer, in my meditation and in my prayer, I will ask our higher power and the universe and the divine to order my steps. Fulfill me with the tools that I need, if I don't already possess those tools, in order to take the next step and get to the next level. I no longer want to sit in desire. I am ready to put things in action. So I wish the same for you. And I hope to look to hear from y'all. And I hope you join me for the next Flow Experience. Hopefully my next podcast episode, I will have a special guest. I'm working on that. And, you know, I always like to talk to interesting people. I always like to share or ask them to share their stories with you, because we are a human family. We are all connected. We are all a part of this earth, and we all need each other. And so whatever I can do to help extend that love out to someone who may feel that they are alone, that they don't relate, or nobody relates to them, hopefully you can receive that love and that nourishment right here on the Flow Experience. That's my time, y'all. I said I was going to not run it into the ground with the time unless I'm interviewing somebody and there's a conversation going on. But I appreciate y'all hanging in there with me. I love y'all. Love and light to all of you. We still are giving our love and light and energy to everybody who is affected by this COVID-19 in the worst way, in a negative way. Watch the a conversation between Bun B and Scarface today. Face is on the other end of the COVID-19 virus, and that means he is getting better with that. However, because of that, he is experiencing some serious side effects, such as failed kidneys, that he may have to find a donor. But it was because of the virus that his vital organs began to shut down. So he's not out of the woods, but he is on the other side of the worst part of the initial issue. And so we're going to keep Brad. We know him as Scarface. Brother Mob, that you can find him on Instagram. We're going to keep him uplifted in our prayers, and everyone else also, not just, you know, trying to single anyone out. But I speak specifically about him because, you know, first of all, he's one of my husband's favorite rappers. No doubt about it. And we've had an opportunity to kind of spend some time with Rap-A-Lot some years ago, and Jay Prince and Devin the Dude. And so, you know, those experiences you hold on to, you don't forget, and you appreciate. And so that said, we definitely feel a little more compassion when it hits home. So, all right, that's my time, y'all. It's your girl Flo, loving me, loving you. Peace.